He says in verse 6, because we're in verse 7, but let's back up verse 6, because he's talking about the wisdom of God. We're going to get something pretty interesting in this tonight. He said in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfect in word God means complete. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. We're complete. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the of the princes of this world that come to naught. In other words, all the knowledge in the world is naught to God. Nothing in this world, any knowledge, is worth anything to God. The only knowledge, the only wisdom, the only understanding is that of God. That's the only profitable thing you'll ever learn. People go to school for decades and pay not hundreds of thousands of dollars in education to get a worldly education, when they can go a lot cheaper and get a seminary education and actually learn some things of God. People a lot of times have their priorities not straight. We need to focus on God and not the things of this world. And sometimes we focus too much on things of this world. He says in verse 7, something very interesting. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And then he comes back and says, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto glory. So he speaks of two things here. We're going to go to Acts 15 now. He speaks of two things. First, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is all the wisdom God has. And that's every bit of wisdom that there is. God is omniscient. God has all knowledge. God is omni-everything, because God is all everything. And then he breaks into the second part, and he talks about the wisdom that God has ordained. Both wisdom is hidden. The wisdom of God is hidden, and the wisdom of God's ordained will is hidden. And the only thing we will ever understand as Christians or as churches is what God's Holy Spirit brings to our attention and causes us to learn. If the Holy Spirit does not cause us to learn it, we're not going to learn it. It's just that simple, because it's hid. It's even hid to Christians. Everything God does for a Christian is grace. Everything to us from God is grace. Now, if you will, we got to our third point. I'm going to go back and read. We only got started in last week, so I'm going to go back up. I'm going to reread some of the scripture. I got a little lost last week. I found out what scripture that is right before the one I read. I just couldn't figure that out. Sometimes you go brain dead, you know what I mean? Our third point is in verse 7, and that is that in our text, and that is that God ordained before the world unto our glory. So God ordained. What did he ordain? Well, we're fixing to find out everything. And why did he ordain it? For our glory. See, God put this world together for us. It's for our glory. And we don't understand sometimes. We quote Romans 8:28 a lot, but we don't understand it. And what God is actually saying in Romans 8:28 is that all things, not some things, not a few things, but all things work together for our good. Because that's the way God has ordained it. Now, it may not seem good at the time. It may not feel good at the time. But everything is to our good. Even our death is to our good, isn't it? Because that's what God ordained it to be. God didn't miss anything, folks. He's got everything covered. Now, Acts chapter 15, verse 18, he said, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Well, what is the works of God? Back up one verse. That's what I mentioned last week. He says at the end of that verse, who doeth all things. So if God does all things, then in verse 18 he says, all things that God does are known unto God before the foundation of the world. Nothing is out of God's knowledge. Nothing is out of His will. Everything is doing exactly as God ordained it to do. We may not see it that way. We may not look at it that way. We might not want to see it that way. But there's a lot of things about God that Christians don't want to see and don't want to hear and don't want to do. Well, known unto God are all His works. God never sent us on this earth to fight. He never sent us on. If we're fighting, we're fighting for the gospel, aren't we? If we're fighting, we're fighting for the truth, aren't we? But we understand that all of that is ordained will of God, isn't it? It's ordained wisdom of God. And it only comes to us when God reveals it to us. Well, I've got news for you. If you don't know these things, God's revealing it to you in this message. These scriptures reveal just that to you. Isaiah 45, if you will. This is our last scripture last week. I'm going to go back and read it because it's a very good passage of scripture for us. He says in verse 5, he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the setting of the west, there's none besides me. In other words, the Lord says, I make it rise in the east, I make it set in the west. People don't need that. That people don't understand that. They need to learn that. Don't they? That God makes it rise. God makes it. No such thing as climate control, climate change. We're not affecting the climate. If we are, it's God's will that we do it. And if it's God's will we do it, it's going to happen anyway, isn't it? We can't stop it. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, I create darkness. I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto them that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with his potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy works? He hath no hands. Woe unto me. Saith unto his father, who begettest thou, or the woman, what hast thou brought forth? The Lord answered, only ignorant people, and ignorant and Christian people, and even lost people, question God's power and God's authority. It's out of ignorance that people don't believe in God is sovereign. Only people are out of ignorance believe that God doesn't ordain everything. That everything that happens is ordained will of God. If God has ordained for Joe Biden to be elected president in the next election, he will be. God help us, but he will be. But we as Christians need to learn, lean back and remember God said that he controls it all. And that whatever he does is going to work out to our good. Now, I don't know about you, but I couldn't see any good in that. But God said there was, there wasn't, didn't he? What good is an abortion? I don't know, but God does. What good is a wokeism? I don't know, but God does. I don't sit around and call stores and ask them, their employees, if they're woke. Most of their employees probably don't know what woke is. They think they woke up this morning. lot of people ask me, what's walk? So that brings us down to the third point of our third point. And we're going to go to Acts 17, a few scriptures over. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 28, it says, God hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life. God don't need anything, does he? He don't need us, does he? People talk about, go out and do God a favor. You're not going to do God a favor. That's heresy. That's blasphemy against God. We go out and do what God allows us to do. We don't do anything for God. We add nothing to God and we take nothing away from him. Well, we don't preach the gospel to the world, people are not going to hear. We can preach the gospel to everybody in the world and they're still not going to hear. Well, God opens up their spirit and causes them to have the ears and eyes to see and hear. And faith to believe. If God doesn't give it, they will never come. Arguing people, debating people about the sovereignty of God isn't going to do any good. It don't matter if they get mad at us. What, are we supposed to stop preaching the word of God just because people get mad at us? Because this denomination or that nobody don't like it? I tell you what, you go back in history, back in the Reformation period era, and while those people come out of Catholicism was believing the sovereignty of God. I know they were because I read some of their writings. I mean, John Calvin came out of it. And John Calvin is the one that set in place TULIP. He didn't form it. It was already the Word of God. But he systemized it, didn't he? That's the only good thing I know John Calvin ever did. People walk around, I'm a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't even know John Calvin. I don't read his books. I don't study him. He's not in my line of commentaries I look at. Because almost everything else I read about John Calvin, I don't like. God uses people the way he chooses to use them for a certain purpose that he uses them for. But you go back and John Knox and Wycliffe and all the others that came out of that area, that era of Reformation, a lot of them were believing in the sovereignty of God. And a lot of people taught it. I know Sister Hammond's family was Methodist. And when Brother Hammond married her, he married a Methodist. And he told me that back then, a lot of the Methodists were believing in the sovereignty of God. I talked to, I can't even think of people's names anymore. One of my brethren that I've read, and I've become friends with, one of our so friends, that wrote a book about the starting of Southern Baptist Convention. And do you know that about 70% of the Southern Baptist Convention was started out of real churches? Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist churches. Later they come where they don't believe in the sovereignty of God, but some of them do. Brother Stephen Hammond, a good friend of mine, cousin to Donna, was a Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher in the Southern Baptist Convention. There's still some there. Some of them actually believed in the church back then. They were church people. They lost it. That's what you do when you hang with people that are in error. You become a person of error. So, let's go back to verse 24. I don't think I read all that. God that made the world and all therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshiped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeth he giveth life, he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. Listen to this. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, what's the bounds of a habitation? That is you, your existence, your life. The bounds of your habitation is not just that you're a white person in the United States of America, born in the United States of America. Your habitation is also your dwelling as a Christian. It's also your dwelling as a Christian in life. God has ordained your habitation. Everything there is about you is ordained of God, Ephesians 2:10. Everything is ordained of God before the foundation of the world in your life. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that God has a season for all things. He's appointed time for everything. A time to be born, time to die. Time for the sun to plant, rise, time for it to go down. A time to pluck, plant, a time to pluck. A time to laugh, a time to cry. God had appointed it, all of it. Every detail of your life is appointed of God. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Listen, something else powerful here. For we live, we move, and we have our being. Also certain also of the poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So, we live, we move, we have our being in God. In what God? And what part of God? The whole habitation of our life that God has ordained before the foundation of the world. See, people say, well, God ain't got time. God has all the time in the world. He knows everything. There is nothing in your life that God does not, one, know about, two, care about, and three, is doing. That's when you thank God for everything. You get a new job, you thank God. You get a raise of pay, you thank God. It ain't because I worked hard, it's because God gave it to you. You got the help to do this? Thank God. You got the finances to go get your new house or a new car? You thank God for it. Too many people say, I'll make my own way. I'm my own person. We're not our own person. That's like saying we control our own destiny. That's almost as ignorant as climate change. Go to Job chapter 14. Our entire life's found, our entire life's habitation is set by God. Everything. Don't get mad when things happen to us. One of these days, I'm going to have to retire. It may be sooner than we think. Because his old body's going to get where it just can't go. His old mind's going to get where it just can't go. Not everybody's as blessed as Kelly Hinton and is able to preach to 314. Nah, he'll get me his Bible card. That's okay. But really, isn't he blessed? He still got a good mind. My father-in-law lost his to dementia. Others have lost theirs to dementia. But Mink had Alzheimer's. Lost it. Some of the great Christians I know in my life have lost their minds. But that's all by the will of God, isn't it? By His design, isn't it? Look at Job chapter 14, verse 5. I think that's where I'm at. Seeing his days are determined, and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, and he cannot pass them. Again, what's his bound? Just his life? No. My strength is my bound, isn't it? My mind is my bound, isn't it? The things I can accomplish as a minister, as a pastor, is my bound also, isn't it? And God has set a limit to every single solitary one of them. I have no right to complain to God or ask God what thou doest thou. Why can't I know as much as that preacher down the road? Why ain't I as smart as him? I might as well just slap myself in the face than ask God such an ignorant question. And that preacher down the road that has a very good intelligence, well, a lot of them do, I'm telling you. A lot of them do. They're smart. Need to get out and thank God they got that smart. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm quoting, kind of quoted this one ago. We're going to go read it. Because it kind of goes with Job 14:5, doesn't it? I'll read Job 14:5 again while you go over there. Seeing his days are determined, and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, and he cannot pass. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. Workmanship means creation. So let's read it properly. We are his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created by God himself, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. Am I here by accident? No. I am absolutely not here by accident. I came exactly when the Lord determined for me to be here, and I will leave this pulpit exactly the day the Lord ordained for me to leave it. And everyone who picks up the work next, they'll be in God's power and God's hands too, as long as God determines to speak. I pray the Lord will come before then, but we don't know that, do we? In fact, we don't know much of anything, do we? Except what God has given to us. That's all we know. Look, folks, everything is in God's hands with you and your life. Your bounds have been set. Your habitations have been set. Before this world ever began, God ordained them. I don't care if people like it or don't like it. And I don't care if they hate me for preaching it. So be it. I have exactly the amount of friends that God wants me to have. Not one more, not one less. And I understand that some of those are really not my friends. Therefore, it is not an impossible thing that God's gifts extend to our understanding of His Word. It's not. Because that's our wisdom, isn't it? Wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge. And understanding is underneath knowledge. or you get understanding, and you get knowledge of it, then the Lord gives you wisdom of it. And you got to have all three. But once you understand, and the Lord gives you a knowledge of what you're understanding, then the Lord gives you the wisdom to know what to do with that knowledge and understanding. Well, that's a whole different world out there, isn't it? You get a whole different view of things, don't you? And you're seeing things in the Word of God that others cannot see because it's hid. That's the reason it's hid. Well, they can't understand it. Nobody understands anything about God or anything about the Word of God unless it's revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. That's why so many people hate us. They don't understand that. Here they are. They're bouncing clay off the wall. They're bouncing basketball. I don't even bounce. Actually bounce clay off the wall. But they're bouncing balls off the wall and catching them, bouncing back, trying to figure out things. But if you listen to their preaching, if you listen to their words, they'll actually contradict themselves over time. Because they don't believe that God is the answer to everything. That he's the solution to everything. That everything is a gift from God. Everything to us is a gift by God's grace. Go back to our text, if you will. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Get back over there. And let's go to our fourth point. Like last week, we're not going to get real far. We're going to move on. Now, this right here makes a ton of sense to me. I've been preaching this for decades. A lot of people don't believe it, but I've been preaching it for decades. You know, old Baptists, some of them, not the good, not, I'll try not to criticize people. A lot of Baptists blame the Jews for crucifying Jesus. And they did, didn't they? But we crucified him. I crucified him. You crucified him. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, whose sins are forgiven, must have crucified Jesus because that's why he died. And you wonder, and I've said this many times, you wonder, why did the Jews not understand who Jesus was? How did they miss him? Because God never revealed him to them. They were God's chosen nation, Old Testament. But that don't mean that God loves every one of them, and that don't mean that God's going to save every one of them. And that don't mean every one of us have a knowledge and understanding. Not every Christian has a proper knowledge and understanding of God. Or the things of God, or the ways of God. Or how God does things. And God makes, this right here tells you a lot if you just listen to it. Look at verse 8. He says, now, he just got through talking about everything hidden is wisdom, everything God is hidden. Now, he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who is that? Well, the Jews, isn't it? That's the leadership of the Jews. That's what we're talking about. He's saying, if they had known who Jesus was, they would have protected him, wouldn't they? They would never have crucified him. Ever. Let me ask you something. If Jesus Christ was on this earth today, would you crucify him? Would you take part in that? No, you wouldn't. That's your Savior. They had no inkling of an idea who Jesus was. To them, he was a devil. To them, he was Satan. Just like to a lot of people today call themselves Christians, God is a devil to them. I would never worship a God that chooses people, that saves one, doesn't save the other. God loves everybody. He treats everybody the same. Everything's equal for everybody. Nothing's ever been equal for everybody. Was it equal for Esau and Jacob? Why wasn't it? God chose one, not the other, didn't he? You be thankful today. I'm telling you, folks. We have to be thankful that we know Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be thankful that we are who we are in knowledge and understanding of Christ and God and how God does things. Life is a lot easier when you trust God, isn't it? So he says, for had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. They did not know because God hid it from them. What's it say? If the gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Hid. Hid by Satan, who hath blinded the minds through the fall. Now, he hasn't blinded the minds. We blinded ourselves and God blinded them. But he was responsible for the fall, wasn't he? Along with Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve also blinded us, didn't they? We were blinded because of sin, weren't we? And this is the reason that they did not know Jesus Christ. Because God did not reveal it to them. He revealed it to a lot of Jews, didn't he? You know, most of the first churches were all started with Jews. Saved Jews. God hid it from them. Human knowledge does not recognize deity. Or the knowledge of deity, the workings of deity. The human mind does not recognize deity at all. It hates deity. Why? Because deity has power over us. And believe me, people do not want anything or anyone to have power over them. Go to Acts chapter 7, if I get there. I have a few more minutes, and I may not even get there, but if I do, that's where we'll go. And this will start over next week right here. This is where we're going to start. And go ahead and mark this. If I don't mark it, I'll forget where I'm at. So this includes the Jews, and not just the average Jew, but he talked about the princes of this world, didn't he? He was talking about the higher ranking Jews, wasn't he? He's also talking about Herod and Pontius Pilate, among with others. The Jewish rabbis and Jewish, whatever ranks they have, all the ranks they have, the chief Jews, scribes, Pharisees, and Sanhedrins, and all them. Those who Saul of Tarsus was part of. which we were going to get to him in just a second. From the highest ranks down, they just didn't know Jesus. Now, if you read Acts chapter 3 and 4, you will learn, and we've read it, that some of those Jews involved in the crucifixion were later saved, weren't they? Because God revealed it to them, right? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 7. And let's look at this man named Saul of Tarsus. Now, I'm not going to get very much further. I'm going to do this and I'm going to quit. I'm going to do Acts 7 and Acts 22, and then I'm going to stop right there. And we'll go back over this next week. But Saul of Tarsus was who? Saul of Tarsus was a high-ranking and brilliant in the Jewish doctrine, no testament, wasn't he? He knew it all. He said he did. Said he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a good Jew. Circumcised the eighth day, all these things Jews do, all. He had it all, didn't he? Remember in John chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus? Who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, wasn't he? He came to Jesus by night, because he didn't want me to. I guess, I always said because he didn't want to be seen with Jesus, and that's probably true. Why would he? They probably killed him if he found out he was with Jesus. And if you listen to the conversation, you know that he doesn't know anything about salvation. He has no clue. Just like people today, they have no clue how a person's saved. They'll tell you you got to turn over a new leaf. They'll tell you you got to make a decision for Christ. They'll tell you you got to pray a prayer. They'll tell you you got to work good works. They'll tell you everything that's false and nothing that's true. Now, Saul of Tarsus here is who we know as Apostle Paul, right? Look at verse 58 and Acts 7, where they're stoning Stephen. This is the first time I really see him that I know of. And it says in verse 58, and cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their coats, and a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and who we later know as Paul. Now, a lot of people may look at this and say, oh, now, this could have been any Saul. Okay, well, let's turn over to Acts chapter 22. And actually, Paul is going to tell us this was him. In Acts chapter 22, verse 20, it says, And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consented unto his death, and kept the raiments of them that slew him. Oh, wow. So this was really Paul, wasn't it? At the time, Saul of Tarsus, who stood by and held the coats of them that were stoning Stephen to death when God opened up the sky and he said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father on high. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, later admitted, yeah, it was me. I was there. I held the raiment. He wasn't proud of it, was he? So the word, and I'll stop with this, but we'll go back over this next week. We'll start with this. The word princess means the first in rank or power. Think about that. The word princess that we learned up here in verse 8 of our text, where it says, which none of the princes knew, that is the first in rank and power, chief, ruler, magistrate, prince, ruler, including the Jewish leadership. That's who it was. That's who it was that denied Jesus Christ along with the great Saul of Tarsus, who was a great Jew, a member of the Sanhedrin, as most people believe, a very knowledgeable Jew, very well learned Jew, who went into the first church at Jerusalem and martyred some, jailed them, and then was chasing them down when Jesus stopped him and saved this poor, worthless soul. Yeah, he was on the way to do more damage to the church who escaped when Jesus saved him. See the grace of Jesus? And he became probably the single, outside of Jesus, biggest name in the New Testament. It was Paul, the apostle to the church age. 12th apostle. When the foundations of the New Jerusalem is laid, there'll be 12 foundations, each one named after the 12 apostles. Oh, I thought there were 13. No, the church made the 5 to the apostles. God never did. So there's 12 foundations, each one of them named after the apostles, with the 12th being the apostle Paul, not the 5. But that's a debate for later time. Most people think I'm crazy because of that. Most people disagree with me on that. I don't care. You got to have an explanation for it. You got to understand it. That's where God gives us knowledge, isn't it? So we can understand. Right? Okay, so everybody have a good week. Thank you. And don't forget to pray for Rebecca.